Welcome to the Daily Objective, day 168 of the war in Israel. Today we're talking about Owen Jones. Nothing new there, but we're talking about him as the the topic of today's episode, and that is because he has left the Labour Party. He wrote an op-ed in the Guardian. He did a video, as he does, explaining, telling about his history with the Labour Party, how difficult it is for him, listing many issues. Of course, economically, they're not, they don't want, the current Labour Party doesn't seem to want to turn this country into as much of a shithole as Corbyn would have and as it was in the 70s before Thatcher saved it from itself. But, we know the main reason. The main reason is his hatred for the Jewish state and the fact that the current leader of the Labour Party doesn't seem to, his hatred for the Jewish state doesn't seem to reach the level that Owen Jones seeks or thinks is sufficient for his support. So he's leaving. He recommended voting for the Green Party or independent candidates. Of course, in the UK, you vote for a candidate. So, you might make a different decision party-wise based on who the candidates for each party are in your constituency. So I do want to address kind of a point in the title before we get into the topic, which is the title for this episode was Owen Jones Quits Labour. Will other anti-Semites follow? It seems like we're calling Owen Jones an anti-Semite, which, might be a problem. If it seems that way, that is because we are, or let me be clear, Morgan, you haven't spoken yet, so I'm not saying you are. I am. I picked that title, and I think it's clear. I think it's self-explanatory. I think any video you watch by Owen Jones from the past few months makes that point perfectly clear. But let's just talk specifically about the current conflict and how he has reported on it or opined on it. So first of all, we've made this point in the past. There are many horrors, man-made horrors happening around the world, real horrors, specifically in the Middle East. The Middle East might be have the highest per capita rate of horrors, if you can quantify that. The one exception is the state of Israel. The state of Israel, has many things I don't like. I think it's too socialistic. It's too appeasing of religion. It has its negatives, but compared to the Middle East, it is absolute heaven. It is a place where people have rights. It is the one place where Owen Jones, if he practiced his sexual orientation, he would not go to prison. Actually, the places where he would go to prison might be the better ones. Other than Israel in the Middle East, because in some places he would suffer a much worse fate. So Owen Jones looks at the world, zeroes in on the Middle East, zeroes in on the current conflict, and the conflict that has been going on basically since Arabs decided that they don't want Jews there, which is before the state of Israel was even founded. And he zeroes in, and then he decides that this is the topic that he should focus all his energy on. And in what manner? In the manner of propagandizing for the savages who committed the atrocities of October 7th, for the savages who have spent their entire life, basically the Palestinian people were invented with the purpose of wiping out the Jews, have basically not done anything noteworthy other than kill Jews in the years since. And he focuses on this area, and this is the one villain that he finds in the world just so happens to be the Jewish state. I think just so that we get to the topic, because it's a 30-minute show, and I'm gonna leave it at that, although there's a lot more to be said. There's more to be said about anti-Semitism in Britain. There was some claim I saw recently that London is the most anti-Semitic city in Europe. I don't know if that's true or not, but it's anti-Semitic enough for people to worry. Owen Jones, of course, is not worried. He's not worried about the impact he's having on that with his lies about Israel. We're going to talk about some of those as well. Yeah, we've wasted enough time explaining why Owen Jones is an anti-Semite. If that's insufficient, I know Owen is watches this show regularly. I'm happy to explain it further in a court of law. Morgan, your initial thoughts either on this or on Owen Jones's relationship with the Labour Party.
Well, just before we get to the Labour Party, so in the piece he published in The Guardian, he mentions anti-Semitism. And he mentions it in the context of criticizing Keir Starmer, because one of Keir Starmer's aides or associates in the Parliamentary Labour Party had made a very kind of like slimy, basically anti-Semitic comment about there being a run on the silver shekel or something like that. So Owen Jones will complain about anti-Semitism. And I think genuinely, in the forefront of his mind, he will think, no, I condemn this kind of thing. I don't like it. But in the degree of the, like in the proportion of his condemnation of it, it's woefully insufficient, as is broadly the case on the British left and on the left generally in the Western world. And so he's condemning Starmer, who, I think we would condemn it as a matter of principle. But he was all for Jeremy Corbyn. There was a time where he wobbled because he thought that Corbyn may not be effective at winning, but he was all behind Corbyn. And Corbyn has such a bad history around this kind of thing. So for him to, the pit that stuck out in the article when he's mentioning the anti-Semitism from Corbyn's Starmer's underlings, that just stuck out to me as a horse laugh. Like, how can you, like, say that you shouldn't vote for Starmer because of this comment by this guy? But all the stuff under Corbyn that didn't bother you, Corbyn went through the motions of saying that this stuff was bad, but his actions completely betrayed a completely different orientation on it. And I mean, there's numerous things that we could talk about with Corbyn, but so I thought that was just a strange and odd piece where I guess he feels like he has to hand wave about it. As for him leaving the Labour Party, I mean, there's a couple of things to say, but it was strange, I thought, how much he stressed his family's kind of loyalty and history with the Labour Party, in a way which I think should be embarrassing. Like, he said that his mum bought him a membership for the Labour Party when he was 15. And the idea that, like, a teenager, your mother buys you membership to a political party and you're like, oh, thanks, mum, I love that. It's like, surely, like, a teenager is a bit rebellious and says, no, I'm going to think for myself. And so, the kind of whole orientation of the piece was, Labour's in my blood. He's described himself elsewhere as a kind of fourth generation socialist, as if political opinions are something that's passed down through parties. And family tribalism to political parties is something that I think of as being quite old fashioned in Britain. It's much more of a kind of mid 20th century phenomenon and kind of died out. It's still around. But for him to be kind of loudly proclaiming, look, my family, we have this all this history with the Labour Party. It just makes me think, and so are your convictions completely second-handed then and picked up from your family? It just casts aspersions on all of that. And I thought, you should be embarrassed to say that, yeah, I did as my family did. Now, you could view it as he's being more first-handed now because he's leaving the Labour Party, but then it just seems like, well, if he's being more loyal to his kind of more fundamental convictions around socialism, then he's also picked these up from his family, hasn't he? So I thought that was, if I was his editor, I would say, Owen, maybe mention as a nice bit of scene setting your family history, but quickly move on. Maybe a line or two, but no more than that.
Yeah, party political tribalism in the sense of, yeah, following from what your parents and grand I never understood how that is a thing to be proud of. You have every choice in the matter of what you do with your life and with your vote. You have no choice in who gave birth to you, what they did before they gave birth to you, yeah, so that's an interesting thing to highlight. And in terms of his political views, I think he is very much in line with mainstream left-wing ideas of today. And perhaps the Labour Party is kind of trying to at least the current leader of the Labour Party seems like he's trying to push back on a few of the really bad ones. And Owen Jones doesn't like that. Now, I've said actually, let me make a point about modern day anti-Semitism and modern day what we called, or I've called on this show, modern day Holocaust denial, which is denial related to October 7th. And I, in preparation for this, I saw A much more disturbing video by Owen Jones than the one where he's leaving the Labour Party, a video from, I think, yesterday, the day before, about October 7th, where he interviews, I forget the guy's name, but a guy who made a documentary for Al Jazeera, which we might actually do a whole debunking video of at some point, but made a documentary for Al Jazeera talking about October 7th. Of course, paying lip service to these were atrocities, paying a bit more lip service than he did in his video after he saw the IDF video, because I guess he wanted to stress the point a bit more, and then of course going point by point denying it. While of course if you go to Owen Jones's Twitter, he has all these "don't look away" posts where he's just retweeting a picture of a body or somebody crying or rubble, which tells you nothing about what happened, even if the crying or the body or any of that is real. So the way in which it works and the way in which anti-Semitism works in this country, if you openly express anti-Semitic views, that is a crime. It's a hate crime. I don't think it should be. By the way, I think racists and the worst scum of the earth should be free to express their despicable views, so we know exactly who they are and we know whether or not we want to associate with them. But that is not the case. So these people have to be very careful, and they are. And of course, one of the things that really helps them be careful is the self-hating Jews who we've spoken about on this channel, because pointing to a person of the group you are focusing on and focusing your efforts against and saying, "Look, even these people agree with me," is good propaganda. But there was another point I wanted to make about, just the whole idea of being a member at 15. I don't think, there's a reason why people can't vote at 15, although we don't know how long that's going to be the case. Maybe they're going to lower it to 8. I would raise the voting age. But yeah, people form their views of the world, form their actual views by interacting with the world and seeing what works for them and what doesn't work for them, and what are certain ideas applicable in reality. For example, if you want something to happen and the action you take in order to make that happen is prayer, it's not going to happen, and you find that out eventually, and then you might still pray, but you'll do so on your free time, and when you actually want something happening, you will do that. So generally speaking, I don't think people at that age should do such, certainly should vote, but I don't think, I wouldn't take the political views of somebody at that age seriously. But I do want to say that I think this is a very positive move. I would really like to see the left splinter, and if it's the Israel issue, that is fantastic, because we'll have this clear distinction of these anti-Semitic scum who are, like the George Galloways, like the Jeremy Corbyns. I wonder what the new political body that forms might look like if that happens. So, we talked about Nick Griffin, the leader of the British National Party, the what used to be a whites-only party until a court of law told him that that's illegal. I wonder, would he be welcomed into it? So I generally think this is a positive thing politically. But Morgan, if you are not having tech issues, I'm going to go to you and see what you have to say on this.
Yeah, I've just caught up. I was hearing you at half speed. So I mean, I think the whole tone of the article was just an embarrassing confession that he's picked up this faith from his family, really. And I did, it's shocking that someone would confess that. As for his attitude on Israel and Gaza, the whole attitude of a lot of the left, like him, of which he's a pretty good representative, is at best what you could say about them is that they're way too soft on it. And people have to think about why are they soft? What motivates that? And for some of them, I think undoubtedly it's because they've picked up anti-Semitism along the road. And even if they don't recognize that that's what they've done, so they can, that's why we see in Labour Party candidates them just spewing out these comments, even though you would think that probably the Labour Party whips were coming down with a hammer on them, and yet they still continue to seem to continue making them. And I also saw one of his tweets just before we went live of those, that kind of don't look away variety. And there's a huge amount of context dropping in a lot of those tweets. Now, there's context dropping of this is a war, and as terrible as wars are, and they produce a lot of brutality, who started it? But he tweeted a video of a drone strike that was held by the Israelis. And what he was saying about it was, look, this clearly shows the Israelis murdering unarmed civilians. And so it shows a video of four men who aren't holding guns being bombed. But why is the fact that they're unarmed prove that they're civilians? Why does that prove that they aren't military targets? The IDF has a military intelligence wing, and they'll research who their targets are. So just to find a video of a drone strike and to say, look, the fact that they're not holding guns when these men were blown up proves that they weren't valid military targets. That doesn't follow. I mean, that laughably doesn't follow. So, and you have to ask yourself about Owen Jones. Does he just not think about that? Is he like, or is, you know, is he just kind of shooting from the hip too quickly? If so, he's doing it all the time. But I think what people should be struck by generally with that kind of phenomenon on Twitter, because a huge amount of people do it, just not Owen Jones. But when Owen Jones is doing that, is he's dropping the context. And to be honest, I think he's doing it deliberately so that people, to try and get people on side by effect, by playing to their emotions in effect. Look, this video is horrible because you're seeing four men be blown up and then stagger away and get blown up again. But it doesn't prove that they aren't military targets. And it's a shameful thing for a journalist whose job is to inform people to be dropping the context and to be dropping the context all the time.
Just quickly, thank you, Robert, for the super chat. Robert says, is this episode Owen Jones tip jar exempt? No episode is Owen Jones tip jar exempt. Our funds are used to combat the Owen Joneses of the world getting their way, which they are. So thank you for the super chat. Thank you, Kirsten, for the super chat. Thank you, Bonnie, for the super chat. And thank you, Daniel Krause, the producer behind the scenes, for the BNP mentioned tip jar super chat. I like that. Morgan, if there is a Morgan and Razi mentioned tip jar as well, we are going to be rich. But yeah, so context dropping. Yes, context dropping is a form of lying if it's done intentionally. And yes, of course, it's done intentionally by Owen Jones all the time. That video of the drone strike reminded, the first thing I, when I saw that, the first thing it reminded me was an interview I heard on Israeli television with an Israeli, an IDF soldier who on October, who said on October 7th, we saw Palestinians go through the gates. We saw them go through the breaches in the fence. But we have a clear, a clear directive not to shoot at unarmed people. They were not armed. The ones that this soldier saw crossing at that time were not armed, and they were let in. This, of course, had they been killed, the Owen Joneses of the world would have said, look, they killed unarmed people going into Israel, probably just to work or eat or whatever. And this is consistent in everything. So Owen Jones in the video I mentioned where he's talking about this Al Jazeera documentary said something that I believe he also said in his other video about the IDF video, which is, many people were killed on October 7th. It's not clear how many of the Israelis may have been killed by the IDF. So when the IDF on October 7th and the Israeli police and whoever responded eventually to the attacks came in many cases, Palestinian terrorists were using Israelis as human shields. In such a scenario, it is absolutely shockingly dishonest to say, well, actually, if they died from a bullet shot by the IDF, they were killed by Israel rather than killed by the savages who started this in the first place. Of course, this is also true of people in Gaza who die, actual innocents in Gaza who die, which is not something you will ever hear from Owen Jones. So, yeah, His dishonesty here, again, it's not an error. It's not an error of knowledge. It's not, you know, I don't actually know what I'm saying. It's he's an intelligent person. I know I get criticized whenever I say that, but he's an intelligent person. He knows very well what he's doing. He's doing it intentionally, and he's getting the results he wants, because we see the rise in anti-Semitism in this country. We see the rise of anti-Israel policy in this country, which was not very pro-Israel except for a few statements to begin with, and is now full on, as we discussed yesterday. We're at the point where Britain actually demands and conditions future sales of weapons on Israel being really nice to the actual savages who committed the atrocities on October 7th.
Another thing from his, oh, actually, well, just on context dropping as well. There's a complete, so, and in that, the tweeting of any of those videos or photos that he puts out, there's a complete disregard for objectivity and for really making sure that his audience can understand what's going on. Because how do you judge whether the four guys in the video are military targets or not? Now, given that the IDF is, you know, has a military intelligence wing and is, I think, pretty responsible, I think that's the, in a sense, the assumption you should be on. But how does Owen Jones know that these guys were just civilians, in effect, which is what he was saying, and weren't valid military targets? He doesn't know. And he's relying on his audience not knowing, and he's relying on playing to their emotions. So it's a really disgraceful thing. And as for his article, he talks for a lot of it, for the meat of it, about the ways in which Keir Starmer is unprincipled. And I think people could maybe come away from the article, if they're reading it quickly, thinking that's why he's not voting for Keir Starmer. And certainly he complains about that a lot. And if you read the article carefully, when he gets to the shorter paragraph that he devotes to Israel and Gaza, he makes clear that actually it's Keir Starmer's positions on Israel, which are the red line which has been crossed, which has driven him to leave the Labour Party. So all this other stuff about Keir Starmer being unprincipled is just fluff. Because if Keir Starmer had come out as resolutely on the Palestinian side, or had been calling for an immediate ceasefire straight away, whatever, then he would say, look, Keir Starmer, you know, he's a compromiser, whatever, but we should all vote for him. But it's Israel that pushed it too far, where Starmer, you know, tried not to undermine Israel as much as some of the other politicians in his party would like him to do. He tried to hold out. Now, probably not, I think, because that's his kind of deeply held convictions, but probably because he wanted to seem more credible electorally. But to the extent that he's doing that, that's Keir Starmer being better than the own people in his own party. And Owen Jones is seeing that and thinking, well, this, you know, I can't tolerate this anymore. No matter how much of a compromiser and an unprincipled person he is, or speaks out of two sides of his mouth, it's this one, you know, relatively better thing that Starmer's doing that has pushed me too far. And the only way that I guess he justifies that to himself is because his whole framework is completely oriented in the wrong way. But in actuality, it's a terrible thing to view Starmer as being slightly better than he could be, or could, slightly less worse than he could have been, as what pushed you over the edge. So yeah, I think anyone with any sense should see Owen Jones's justifications for leaving the Labour Party is motivated by just the worst things.
You know, the whole look at these innocent people killed by drones reminds me of something that happened years ago, but is one of those moments that the pro-terrorist side really likes to bring up, and was brought up in the Lex Fridman debate that we discussed twice over the past week on this channel, which was this incident where four kids on the beach were killed in a drone strike, again, years ago. And this was a big moment for the Palestinian propagandists. I'm sure the Owen Joneses and the Norman Finkelsteins of the world love it whenever they hear something like that, because that is a moment in which they can, you know, say, you know, make their point. Look, Israel is just killing Palestinians for no reason. Now, of course, the context dropping there is A, you know, there was, they probably didn't know their kids. They were in an area where there was Hamas activity. That is why there was a strike there. You know, Israel has the military capabilities to do this a lot and anywhere. So whenever it strikes in a specific place, it is safe to assume that they thought, even if they are wrong, that they thought these targets are Hamas targets, who, of course, don't wear uniforms, are not always armed. So it is, you know, they're always civilians. Terrorists are always in civilian clothing, and you know, they don't identify them themselves in any other way. But the way this propaganda machine works is such moments are the moments that they will use to promote their ideas and or their the way they want people looking at Israel. And yeah, that was something I was reminded by that. But another thing is this Owen Jones video from a day or two ago. He interviews this documentary filmmaker. This documentary filmmaker is from Al Jazeera. The documentary was on Al Jazeera. That is a point we've also spoken about Al Jazeera this past week on the channel. Again, this is a channel that is the propaganda channel of a government, which, again, in which Owen Jones, if he lived by his lifestyle there, would go to prison. And again, only for 3 years. So that is the penalty for homosexual acts in Qatar. But he uses Al Jazeera as his go-to resource, and you know, this is a channel that has actual terrorists working for it as journalists. That is, again, funded by a government of a terrorist supporting dictatorship. So keep in mind that Owen Jones has an agenda. You know, it plays out perfectly in where he gets his info and how he disseminates it. And then ask yourself, is this person, you know, is this person actually doing what he thinks is for the betterment of humanity or not? Morgan,
I guess just to come back to Jones's support of Corbyn, anyone who really viewed anti-Semitism as a poison, as Jones has made that comment, wouldn't, so he can bring himself to condemn kind of relatively minor instances of anti-Semitic comments by Labour candidates. But if you were to really hold it consistently, you would have had to have campaigned, look, Corbyn, there's something really wrong with Corbyn here, and we would need to get rid of him. And for the brief period where Jones did that, it wasn't because of that. It was because of worries about his electability. And then he went back on that. And Corbyn's someone who campaigned for the parole for the guy who orchestrated the Israeli embassy bombing, for Christ's sake. I mean, and who tweeted out that the graffiti of the Zionist controlling the world, all this stuff. There's so many instances of it. So why didn't that stand out to him? Why couldn't he bring himself to decry that and to campaign actively for that? Because if he's this diehard, you know, it's in my blood supporter of the Labour Party, surely you would have to, from someone who really valued the Labour Party, you would have to view that as, oh my God, this party is being taken over by the worst elements of it. And yet that didn't stand out to him. So, you know, he can go like Cenk Uygur, when we were looking at the video the other day, he can go through the motions of saying the words, but his actions don't match up with them at all.
Yeah, and again, I just want to mention the video. I encourage people to go watch Owen Jones's video about how Israel, according to him and to Al Jazeera, lied about October 7th. Go and watch that. That is, you know, that is a masterclass in modern day Holocaust denial. And I really do think, although we try to keep our Owen Jones videos at least a week apart, I think this is something that might require us going bit by bit, showing how this fits into the propaganda machine, which you know, we've gone through again. But it's very important, I think, to discuss that. Well, from a British anti-Semitic propagandist to an American one, our next show, the reality show, which starts a minute after this show ends, we'll be talking about Candace Owens, who has parted ways with the Daily Wire today. Please, if you value this content, like it, comment, share, and if you're not subscribed, also subscribe. We will be with you in the reality show in a minute. Thanks, and see you soon.